Douglas Crook, Wednesday, November 21st, 2012.
Well, let's begin to consider the last passage in Proverbs 31. In this description of the virtuous woman, we're ready for verse 28. We'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In this description of a virtuous woman, we have seen that her life is one of hard work, of sacrifice, selfless sacrifice for the sake of others. We see that she and her husband are people of power and wealth, and yet she does not use that power and wealth for selfish reasons, but in order to enrich others. And we see that she lives for the good of her children and for the honor of her husband. And as we read the description, we understand that this is also a description of those believers that will make up the company known as the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. One who is faithful to serve the Lord is going to live a life of sacrifice, of service, faithfulness, will live for others and live to honor our espoused husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what many have made the mistake of thinking when we have the description of what a biblical woman is and what God looks for in godly women, many have come to the wrong conclusion and that, well, it's a hard, thankless life, and that's slavery. It's not. What's so good about that? What they have failed to see in this very description, as well as every other description that God gives of not only godly women, but of faithful believers, is that this kind of life, a life of love and a life of service, is not without its reward. And this last passage brings us to the reward. Why does she do everything she does? Why does she work so hard? And why does she give herself for the good of others? And what is so great about her husband that she seeks always to honor him and to enhance his reputation rather than to bring reproach? Well, it is her love that motivates her in all of those cases. And a life of love is a rewarding life, beginning right now, but the fullness of that reward is yet to come. This is why it's important for us in the midst of the sacrifice, in the midst of the service, the labor, it's important for us to keep that eternal perspective, to understand there is coming a harvest. There will be a harvest for the fruit of her labor, and there will be honor given at some point. Love has its reward. To serve the Lord with all of your heart, it's not an empty life. It's not a vain life. People will tell you that they'll make the same mistake that they make about the biblical description of womanhood and of motherhood, of what it means to be a godly wife. They will say, well, that's just empty and vain. And they'll say the same thing about a life, a Christian life dedicated to honor the Lord with every aspect of their life. It's empty. It's vain. Well, it's not. Not in this life, and not in eternity. Two of the greatest rewards for the virtuous woman, for the faithful saint, is first of all the acknowledgement and the praise of her children, of an acknowledgement of what she has contributed to their life. And this is true in the natural, how rewarding it is when adult children return to the parents and say how much they appreciate the life that they were given, because often in the midst of the growing up, in the midst of the labors and sacrifice, it is thankless. It goes unacknowledged and unrewarded at the moment. But there many times is that opportunity for adult children to appreciate what the parent has done. And that's very rewarding for a parent, just to understand that I have invested in this life. And from the godly standpoint, from a godly parent, that has to do with eternal things, that you've invested not only in their life in this life, but in eternity. We've already read, we won't turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul talks about his own labor and his own sacrifice. And so we also, in a sense, we can have spiritual children. In other words, we can have those that we can mentor, that we can nurture in the things of the Lord. And to do that, oftentimes, it is a sacrifice. It is a thankless job when you do what is in the best interest of someone's spiritual life. It often goes unappreciated, unnoticed, and sometimes even unwanted. But the Apostle Paul tells us about how he labored for the Thessalonians and how that there was, he was like a mother and he was like a father, but how much the Thessalonians came to appreciate what Paul had done for them. He labored on behalf of them. And we can do the same for others. At times, it may seem no one notices or no one cares. Growing up in the church that I grew up in, and when I was younger, we had a fairly larger church. Probably had about 300 at the time when I was probably about Isaac's age. But when I became a teenager and I was beginning to pay attention to what was going on, the congregation was more about what the size is tonight. And I remember that there were saints that ministered to me in a number of different ways. I can still, some of my most precious memories as a child is of my elderly Sunday school teacher. She was always old as far as I remember. I always thought she was 100 years old. And I don't really know how old she was when I was in her class, but she was elderly. But I remember her classes. And there were only a handful of us there, two or three. And she was probably ahead of her time for an older church lady. She would bring in these action dolls. And it kind of reminded me, I don't know if she stole somebody's G.I. Joe or what, because I had some G.I. Joes. And she had Joseph that I thought I recognized as G.I. Joe. But she would put on this coat of many colors, and she would, for just a few kids, she would do this Sunday school lesson. I still remember those. I'm part of their spiritual harvest. I remember an elderly woman, Sister Wiseman. And at that time, we had an old church building that had about 20 steep steps to get into the church. There's no way. There was no handicap access. And Sister Wiseman had what we used to call elephantitis. I don't know if that's a legitimate disease, but her legs were always that big all the way down. You didn't see her ankles. She was in every church meeting, up and down those stairs. Whenever there was a testimony service, she got up to testify of the goodness of the Lord. I'm one of her children. Now, some of those older ones, I didn't have the chance to go up and tell them. I never told Sister Hankey how much that I appreciated her sacrifice. I was too young to really understand what I was being given. I believe one day I'll have that opportunity. Your children will praise her. Saints, this is why the church family means so much to me. This is why it breaks my heart when people don't understand the value of the local assembly. We're investing in lives for eternity's sake. And someday I hope that I'll have the opportunity to thank some of those. others have invested in my life that I've had the opportunity to recognize in this life and before they pass, to be able to tell them, thanks. Thanks for your sacrifice. Thanks for being faithful and steady. Now, Sister Wiseman, she wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a Sunday school teacher, but she sat on that front row, not the second row, I believe it was. And it encouraged me. Even if no one else was there, Sister Wiseman was going to be there. The description of the virtuous woman, it's not just so much poetry. This is what God's looking for in your life and in my life. And to know that we can have that kind of an impact on individuals' lives for eternity. Saints, that's reward for me. That's the harvest that I'm looking for. Not for myself, not for the praise for myself. But any praise that comes this way, you know where it goes because of who enables us to minister to one another. I want a harvest of souls that I've influenced for eternity because I want them to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul felt that such a harvest was sufficient reward. Philippians 4 and verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Paul looked to the Philippian saints and he considered them his crown. Just the fact that they had come to know the Lord and they were being established in truth, and he encourages them to continue in that truth, that was reward enough for him. 3 John verses 3 and 4, the third epistle of John, verses 3 and 4 of that chapter. The elderly John says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When I read passages like these, I think of the virtuous woman. All of that hard work and sacrifice, labor, and it is sufficient, the praise of the children. It's part of the reward. I hope that we do have a desire to have spiritual children in this sense, that we influence individuals in the fear of the Lord. But ultimately, the virtuous woman, the faithful saint, does everything they do to hear the praise of her husband. And once again, that sounds archaic. That sounds like slavery to the world who rejects God. But this is worth everything to the virtuous woman. Everything she does is motivated for her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful saint. You will not be faithful. You will not serve the Lord if you haven't fallen in love with him and continue to do so on a daily basis. Because there is no other motive that will last and will endure. There are a lot of Christians that are all excited when they're first saved, and sometimes they're miraculously they're just delivered from so many things, and they're excited about what the Lord has done for them, and rightfully so. And they start out well, and they run well, but they're running because of just mere emotion, excited about what God did for them. But if that doesn't yield and surrender to a deep-seated love because you know who Jesus is and you know what he's done, many that start out well miserably fail and they fall along the wayside. But saints, we need to continue to be motivated to do what we do, live how we live, because we don't want to bring reproach to our beloved. We want to honor him. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I was always impressed with the relationship between my grandma and Grandpa Crook, Brother Virgil's mom and dad. If there was ever a woman that I would not hesitate to describe as a virtuous woman, it would have been my Grandma Crook. And they truly delighted in one another. You have to know them, and you have to kind of know the crooks. They were unique individuals, both of them. My grandmother was highly intelligent, and she was blind for most of her later adult life. And they would be driving out of town in another town. And, of course, Grandpa was driving. Since Grandma was blind, that was the most that was the safest way to do that. And Grandpa would make a turn. And Grandma would say, Floyd, you made the wrong turn. Huh? He wasn't of much words. Huh? How do you know? I just know. Sure enough, she was right. They had a very unique relationship, and it wasn't a very talkative one. But when Grandpa died, I was trying to just be with Grandma and comfort her some, and I told her, I said, Grandma, I said, I can't begin to imagine what it's like to lose my mate, because I haven't had that experience. And she said, well, you know, there are many that have had that experience, and they still don't know what my loss is because their husbands weren't my Floyd. They lived their whole life together. And their reward, my grandmother's reward, she was a hard worker. She continued blind to fix the meals and do the clothes, wash the clothes. She labored, but their reward in the end was not an accumulation of wealth. It was each other. How much more is that going to be true with the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? But if you haven't fallen in love with the Lord, none of that makes sense. But I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I'm looking forward to heaven, the streets of gold, the crowns, a new body. Yeah, all those things are going to be good. But I want to see Jesus. I want to hear him say the words, well done. Many have done well, but you excel them all. We understand what's behind those words. It's not our excellence. It's his life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's his grace. But he's going to acknowledge those who surrendered to those gifts of his love. Song of Solomon 5, verses 9 to 16. What is your beloved more than another beloved? O fairest among women, you ever been asked, what's so great about Jesus? Why do you go to church? Some people think we're a cult because we come to church too much. What is it? What is with you? What is with Jesus? Can you answer that question? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? Well, she had an answer. My beloved is wide and ruddy, chief among 10,000. You know what he's saying? What she's saying about him? You can put him in a crowd of 10,000, I'll pick him out. Can you say that about Jesus? His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. And it goes on. We won't take time because to profit the most from it, we'd have to look at all the symbolism. But the point is, she had an answer. She knew why. Do you know why you love Jesus? The praise of her husband is her reward. The description makes it clear what makes the virtuous woman so great. It's not that she's so beautiful, because no matter how beautiful you are, the beauty fades sooner or later. But the fear of the Lord, that's what God is looking for, not only in women, but that's what he's looking for in all of his people. There are so many that say that, you know, Brother Doug, you talk about the bride of Christ. And once again, people think that you're arrogant when you think that you could, that's all you talk about. And you're exclusive because you say some's going to be in the group and some's not. Some people just make excuses and say, well, you know, I'm good just getting to heaven. I don't have what it takes to be the bride of Christ. I'm glad to know that the requirement is simply this, to fear the Lord. He will do everything else that's necessary. All he's asking of me and all he's asking of you is to surrender your will to his will. He doesn't look on the outside like everybody else does. He looks on the heart. And if he sees a heart that's willing, let's go to Isaiah 66. You want to know what the requirements in a nutshell are to be the bride of Christ? Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Saints, I could give you a whole list of my limitations. I could give you a whole list of my weaknesses and my tendencies that I could easily say, well, you know, I can never be in the bride of Christ. But I look at this, and I know that Jesus Christ will look with a look of favor, will be attracted to those who tremble at his word, who fear him, who stand in awe of him, and who surrender their life to his life. Saints, I can tremble at his word. There are a lot of things I can tell you I can't do, but I can tremble at his word. That is, I can stand in awe of it, respect and acknowledge its authority in my life, and I can surrender my will to his. There is no greater reward than to know that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings finds you special and unique. Well done. Many have done well, but you have excelled. Every believer has the opportunity to live a life that honors the Lord. Do you fear him? This one will be praised. If you have an opportunity, you can read Solomon's description of his beloved in chapter 6, verses 4 to 10. Just as the Shulamite had an answer for those who said, what's so great about your beloved? The beloved also has a description of the beauty of his beloved. To think that Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, looks at me with favor. Saints, if that's not reward enough, then our heart's not right. There will be many believers that will enjoy heaven who will be guests at the wedding. But there will be those who enjoy that special place. Give her the fruit of her hands. Praise her works in the gates. Romans 8, verses 16 through 18. The revelation given to the Apostle Paul makes it clear that to live a life of faithfulness as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be a life of labor, of sacrifice, and service. The Bible does not gloss that over. But it also makes it clear that such a life, lived in love, lived motivated by love, will be a life that's rewarded for time and for eternity. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Such a common little phrase we use anymore, those of us that have had the privilege of hearing it all our life. A joint heir with Christ. What in the world does that mean? It means to share everything that belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the heir of all things. He is the creator of all things. And we, if we will suffer with him, live this life that is described for us as the virtuous woman, we can be a joint heir with Christ for eternity. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you get tired sometimes, saints? Mothers, I know, sometimes serving the family, it gets mundane, it gets tough, it gets overwhelming, and many times it's thankless. Christian service, Christian life can be that way sometimes, and we can be tempted to give up and to despair. But saints, there is a reward. The greatest is yet to come. We'll close tonight in the study of Proverbs in Revelation 19. I do realize that some have not fully appreciated this long, I believe probably about 2 years worth of studies in Proverbs. But saints, the wisdom that we need to obtain to this place, I believe, has been clearly presented to us in these scriptures. And they will lead, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, if we love Jesus Christ. I believe this familiar passage that I know you know in Revelation 19. But I believe that this day is going to be a reality. I believe that everything that God has done in human history is leading to this point in time. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. How did she do that? By living the life of a virtuous woman. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And we'll close with that. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.